Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for listening today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 1, beginning at verse 15. Then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of whom the name of one was Shipra and the name of the other Puah. And he said, "When you do the duties of a midwife for the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stools, if it is a son, then you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, then she shall live." But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the male children alive. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, "Why have you done this thing and saved the male children alive?" And the midwives said to Pharaoh, "Because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are lively and give birth before the midwives come to them." Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very mighty. And so it was because the midwives feared God that he provided households for them. So Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, "Every son who is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive." Verses 15 to 22, Exodus chapter 1. Then looking in the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 10. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Father, thank you once again for your goodness, your grace, your mercy, and your love. Thank you for the fact that your word guides us, molds us, shapes us, counsels us, empowers us, and directs us to be the well-equipped vessels and warriors you've called us to be in this world. Thank you, Father, for us as your church. Thank you for us as a nation. Lord, help us both as the church and as a nation to put you first in all that we say and do. Help us to live lives making no graven images and following no graven images. Help us to not take your name in vain. Help us, Lord, to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. Help us, Lord, to honor our fathers and our mothers. Help us to not murder. Help us to not commit adultery. Help us to not steal. Help us to tell the truth. Help us to not covet. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to just sit in your presence. Heavenly Father, we want to seek refuge in your presence, Lord. Heavenly Father, you're so good. You have so many good plans for us. You have so many good ways for us, but we get distracted so often, Lord. Help us to right now set our burdens and our distractions at your feet, Lord, so that we can focus on your presence. Heavenly Father, open our hearts, our minds, and our ears to for whatever you have to say for us, because your ways are good. Thank you so much in your holy name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family here on the Hour of Intercession. As we often do, I want to take time to begin with, we want to share an article or two from the AFA Stand that we wrote that address some of the issues we'll be looking at today. The first one is entitled Life, Pregnancy, and Motherhood. Again, the title of the AFA Stan article that we wrote. Again, life, pregnancy, and motherhood. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 27. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore, I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. So they worshiped the Lord there. Again, 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 27 and 28. Three unique stories of life, pregnancy, and motherhood are found in the Word of God under very unique and interesting circumstances. Hannah, Elizabeth, and Mary are three women from the Old or New Testaments of the Bible who each became mothers under unique circumstances. The story of Hannah is found in 1 Samuel chapters 1 and 2. Hannah was a young wife who had a great desire to be the mother of a little boy. She was barren until after praying and committing her son to the Lord blessed her to conceive and birth a son. Elizabeth's story is found in Luke chapter 1. Elizabeth and her husband, Zechariah, had prayed for a child for a long time, and after many years, the Lord blessed them with a son. When she did become pregnant, it was at an age that people would clearly consider her pregnancy as miraculous. And then Mary was a young virgin who was betrothed to a man named Joseph. Her story is found largely in Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and Luke chapters 1 and 2. Yet before the consummation of their marriage, the angel of the Lord appeared to her and announced that she would be the mother of the Messiah. She was soon found to be with child by the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit of God before she was married. In Luke chapter 1, Mary responded by giving God great praise and thanksgiving for the blessing and honor of the responsibility. There were other women in Scripture who longed to be mothers or treasured being a mother: Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah, to name a few. A question one might ask is this: why does any woman wish to be a mother? Mothers typically have to give so much of themselves to one or more children. They'll typically sacrifice much of their time, strength, and attention, much of their life for their children. Obviously, during pregnancy, there can be much discomfort, inconvenience, and sacrifice by the mother in order to see after the well-being of her baby. Her child during and after pregnancy will be the focus of much of her time and attention, not just the first 18 years of life, but all her life. And this may be true again, time and time again, in so many ways. It seems that sacrificial giving of oneself is just simply part of being a mother. Interestingly, though, Naomi in the book of Ruth speaks of her daughters-in-law as finding rest each in the house of a husband. See Ruth chapter 1, verse 9. Well, one would ask the question then, since when does a mother find rest in her home with a husband and a number of young children? It seems that Naomi is not so much as talking about rest for her physical body. She's referring to rest as in a sense of fulfillment and contentment as a wife and a mother of children. And there's definitely a sense of fulfillment for many women when they are blessed with certain gifts that only God can give. Some of those gifts include marriage, pregnancy, and motherhood. Without question, we see in God's Word that many women long to bear children, long to be mothers, and often desire to have an abundance of children. See Genesis chapters 29 and 30. Tragically, we live in a world and culture where many do not value these precious gifts from God. Sadly, some people don't seem to place much value on them at all. In fact, some people would say that pregnancy and motherhood are a burden and an inconvenience. People who support abortion will often have and encourage this kind of attitude. Abortion is a major tragedy that is at war with the realities of pregnancy and motherhood. It strikes against most everything that is life, including pregnancy and motherhood. It destroys pregnancy along with the baby, and sadly, sometimes physically, emotionally, or otherwise, it may destroy the mother. Why would anyone be unwise enough to destroy that which God creates? There are so many women who long to be pregnant and have babies but are not able to in our culture and our world today. Certainly, there are many mothers who are mothers through adoption, which is certainly a wonderful thing. Becoming a mother through adoption is also a gift from God. As we take time to pray for and honor our mothers during this season, let's also take time to honor God who gave us mothers. And may we also recognize, honor, and cherish the gifts of God, the gifts God has entrusted to them: life, pregnancy, and motherhood. Again, the title of the article, Life, Pregnancy, and Motherhood. If you'd like to get a copy, simply email us at joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We are very blessed and honored to have as our phone guest today, Carol Novielli. She's a busy servant of the Lord. She's the research fellow at the ministry Live Action, and she's a contributing writer for Live Action News, as well as many other things she does for the Lord and for the kingdom of God. Carol, how are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you, Pastor?
Very honored and grateful to have you on the broadcast today. Carol, as we begin, I want to say first again, thank you for taking the time to be with us today for this interview. Would you take a few moments to further introduce yourself, to introduce our listeners to you and also the ministry of Live Action as well?
Sure. Well, I have been actively pro-life for most of my life. I started as a teenager, and God moved me into doing a lot of research on the abortion industry, on eugenics, on Planned Parenthood, and years and years and years, for years, before I was ever in a full-time position, God had me doing a lot of that kind of research. I was also sidewalk counseling outside of abortion facilities, and I've also attended the funeral of a woman who died from an abortion, as well as being able to bury abortion victims that were left in trash dumpsters, these precious little aborted babies. So, but some years ago, God opened the door for me to come to Texas, and I began working for Life Dynamics, which is another organization. I know you used to have Mark Crutcher on your on AFR radio quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
He has since passed, but I worked for him for a number of years where we did research on Planned Parenthood, eugenics. I was doing the research behind the film Ma'afa 21, which I'm sure that you have watched and promoted.
Mm-hmm.
It's a history of Planned Parenthood and eugenics. And then sometime later, I moved over and I was onboarded by Live Action. And Live Action is a human rights nonprofit, and we're a digital leader in the global pro-life movement, founded in 2003 by a 15-year-old at that time by the name of Lila Rose. And I'm sure a lot of your listeners know who Lila Rose is. She's been around a number of years, and we officially formed as a nonprofit in 2008. Lila started doing undercover investigations in 2006. When she was just 18 and a student at UCLA, and a lot of her video undercover investigations on Planned Parenthood are pretty widely known. Live Action is one of the largest pro-life footprint in social media. We get about 2.9 billion lifetime video views. We have about 8.1 million followers in all of our social media platforms. And we reach about 50 million people a month to bring about the mission of life in our culture and to change the culture for life. And so we're involved in a number of projects from a Fourth Amendment push to we've just recently started a North Star Fellowship where we're, you know, forming people on what the actual issues are. We have multiple investigations, and we also have a news site, which I write for as well. And that's our Live Action News. It's amazing. It has a number of fabulous writers and researchers that are all putting out information from everything from euthanasia, IVF, responding to fact checks and the misinformation that the media puts out. We're starting a church outreach. We have a lawmaker summit coming up next month. We just finished a women's summit. So a lot of exciting things
Carol,
going
I'm going to have
on,
to jump in real quick right here, and we're going to pick up there on the other side. Our phone guest today is Carol Novielli. She's a research fellow with Live Action and a writer with Live Action News. We'll be right back.
God speaking. a stranger who already knew your name. What if it's him? What if it's God speaking?
Of Mandisa with God Speaking. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Carol Novielli. She's a research fellow with Live Action and a contributing editor with Live Action News, amongst many other things that she does in serving the Lord. Carol, as we begin this segment, would you pray for our listeners that they would have ears to hear all that the Lord wants to say to them through our broadcast today?
Sure. Heavenly Father, we come to you right now, and we ask you, Father, that, Lord, you will allow me and Pastor Parker, Lord, to put forth the information that needs to be heard by our audience, and I pray for them, Lord, to be open to the information that they're about to receive, Father. It is not an easy topic to talk about child killing in this country, and so we pray for hearts, Lord, heart changes, Lord, for good information that can be shared. We just thank you, Lord, for this time we have together. And I just thank you for everyone that has tuned in to listen. Just bless them immensely, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Carol. Now, Carol, I want to invite you to go ahead and finish. I think you may have not quite been finished sharing about what you wanted to share about Live Action. But after that, I want to dive right into one of the key topics we'll be talking about as well. So please go ahead and finish sharing whatever else you were wanting to share, specifically about the ministry and organization of Live Action.
Oh, sure. I mean, we just have, there's just a lot going on there, and I'm so excited to be blessed to work for Live Action. We have a wonderful team. We just literally finished this week doing just a number of Defund Planned Parenthood rallies, which is kind of the topic I wanted to address with your listeners today, because it's such an urgent matter that's coming up, believe it or not, on our nation's 250th birthday, where the last year what happened was in 2025, some lawmakers, bless them for doing this, In President Trump's Big Beautiful Bill, they passed a measure to defund Planned Parenthood for 1 year. They wanted to go, many wanted to go further, but they were only able to get it passed for 1 year. And right now, Planned Parenthood is receiving about $832 million of our tax monies. That's according to their latest annual report from 2024 and 2025. The defund measure took place in July, so that would have been their June 24 to June 25 year, so $832 million. Their tax dollars have increased about 310%, all while they're increasing their abortions exponentially, which they did their highest killing year in that year, 2024 to 25, with over 434,000 abortions that year alone. And so we don't want our tax monies going to fund an organization that is ending the lives of precious children. Their abortions have doubled while many of their services have decreased. And right now they're killing 1,190 babies every single day, nearly 50 babies per hour, one every 73 seconds. So this isn't some, you know, organization that a lot of people will say, oh, but they do so many good things. The fact is, when you're killing hundreds of thousands of children, millions over the course of the last, since like the year 2008, million preborn babies have been killed by Planned Parenthood. These are not our numbers. These are numbers that they put in their actual reports. And now they're moving into, and they have been for quite a number of years, but more of the transgender type of services. I don't consider them services, but they call them services. And they're also targeting minors. And so Live Action has done two reports. One is called The Case for Defunding Planned Parenthood, which I did the majority of research on. And then another one that we just released will expose Planned Parenthood's transgender agenda. And that one is called, hang on one second, I'll get it for you, Planned Parenthood's Path to Destruction from Abortion to Transgender. And it's based on the dehumanization of children in the womb and the dehumanization of, you know, children and adults through the transgender agenda. And that was largely researched by our other research associate, Sheena Rodriguez. And it's an amazing report that I encourage all of your listeners to go and look for. And they can find all those reports on our website, liveaction.org/defundplannedparenthood2026. But this is an urgent matter with regard to Planned Parenthood because literally, as we're celebrating our 250th birthday in this country, Planned Parenthood is set to be refunded. And the portion of money that they were defunded for is primarily just Medicaid dollars. So it's about $500 million in Medicaid dollars that they will be, you know, refunded with. And what we're asking Congress to do is extend that defunding, do a permanent defund. And there's other reasons for calling for this defund. I mean, abortion should be the one reason that is non-negotiable. However, Planned Parenthood has been, you know, discriminating, racist. Even their own staff wrote a letter in 2020 saying that the organization is steeped in white supremacy with, quote, segregated offices. They've had systemic racism reported at multiple facilities, and they have been sued by former African-American and minority, including Jewish minority staff. In fact, an internal audit that was conducted internally at Planned Parenthood confirmed that the corporation had a racism problem, and their employees say it regularly violates labor laws and discriminates against pregnant and disabled employees and more. So there's a lot going on here that should disqualify them from receiving any monies at the state or federal level. In fact, they've also been exposed, and we've exposed this, for their failure to report child sexual abuse. So a little 13-year-old or 12-year-old or 14-year-old is taken to them by a predator who's sexually assaulting them, and Planned Parenthood has aborted them. And this is part of what Live Action has exposed in our undercover investigations. However, we've also documented through actual criminal cases where these minors have been taken to Planned Parenthood. And in one egregious incident that I documented, the predator took the child three different Planned Parenthoods over the course of several years. And each time she was sent back to that sexual abuser to be re-abused, re-impregnated by him, and brought to another Planned Parenthood where they willingly aborted her and never once called law enforcement. In fact, the abuse did not come to light until she was an adult and was able to advocate for herself. These are the kinds of egregious things that are taking place while they're receiving nearly $1 billion of our taxpayer dollars.
Well, Carol,
and in every incident.
Carol, let me just a quick question I want to ask you. You're kind of sharing a lot of information that believers should know about and should understand. How would you ask believers that are listening to pray for this issue and the matter of defunding? How would you instruct them to pray for this matter and this concern?
Well, I would ask that they pray first for Congress to do the right thing, for our president to do the right thing, to defund this abortion giant, okay? I would ask that their hearts, that they would look internally to their own hearts and pray about what it is they need to do. And if there's a way that they can, you know, be prompted into action to stop abortion in general, the killing of children, innocent children in the womb, and that they would be convicted in their own hearts to action, that we could put an end to this. It's just a big fight that's going on. It's really an embattled fight. And for those that are working on the front lines, that they would pray that there would be wisdom and stamina and that we would stand for what is right always and not compromise, that they would pray for their church leaders to speak up, that they would pray for the children, the actual babies, every single day, pray that the preborn babies that are being targeted by abortion would be spared and mercy would be towards them, and that the hearts of women and fathers and our culture and people in our culture and in our country would be changed. So well, there's a lot to pray about there.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think of this, Carol, again, you've shared just a number of things that are issues that our culture is dealing with, but specifically about the sad, tragic organization of Planned Parenthood. You know, in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 10, it says, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And then Christ says, I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Specifically, it seems that as you share further about who Planned Parenthood is, sadly, many don't realize what a wicked organization they are. And they've been doing wicked things for a long time, and they do it in high places with a lot of power and heavily funded by our own government. So in relation to that, a big issue behind this is there's a lot of spiritual warfare and demonic activity behind who Planned Parenthood is and what they do. I wanted to ask if you'll specifically pray for the church to wake up and get so much more involved in these issues, because there's so much the church can do and should do as we discern what we're to be doing, discern who we're dealing with, and how to pray and act effectively. Would you pray for the church to really wake up and get so much more involved? Would you do that at this time?
Yes, I will. Dear Lord, I just thank you, Father. I thank you and I praise your name. And Lord, I just pray for the body of Christ, Lord, because you reside in them and with them, and you have chosen them, Lord, to represent you in this culture, Father. So I ask in the name of Jesus that you, Lord, would open their eyes to the evil and wicked deeds that are happening at abortion corporations like Planned Parenthood. Father, that for anyone that is thinking that this is a good organization, I pray that they will be open to what you have to say and to the evil and wicked things that are going on there, and that they would instead expose those things, that they would instead, Lord, work to see that they have no influence in their culture, no influence in their state or cities, no influence with the media, no influence of the people within their own churches, and especially the young people, Lord. And I ask you, Father, that if there is a Planned Parenthood facility nearby them that is committing abortions, that you would move on the hearts, Lord, that you would touch the hearts of our churches and our church leaders to take on those facilities as a place to speak up and to intercede and to intercept those women that are going in, and to provide help for them so that they don't murder their children, and to provide truth to the workers that are there. Lord, we see so many times, Lord, the gospel is preached outside these abortion facilities to those going in, to the staff that's working there, to the neighbors around. And I just pray that the churches, Lord, would get that fire in their belly to go out and be the church and be the salt and light in their community. And it would start with our leaders, Lord, not that they would offload that to someone else, that they would have this, we support pregnancy centers or we preach once a year on abortion, but it would become a conviction to them. However you choose to use that body of Christ, Lord, that it would become a conviction, Lord. And I pray for them and thank you, Lord, for all the good that churches do, for all the ways that they help in their communities, Lord. And it is a load and it is a burden, but your burden is easy, Lord. So I pray for them, Father, to have the courage and the love in their heart for these preborn babies and their moms to speak up and to stand up and to never quit. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Carol. Carol, I want to ask you to respond, just share your thoughts about this. And this is something that in my journey as a pastor that's been involved with the cause of standing for life and against the tragedy of abortion. But some years ago, the Lord led my wife, Bertie, and I to begin a mobile pregnancy ministry that serves in the Mississippi Delta. And early in this journey, I shared the vision with our church, the church family I was pastoring at that time. I happened to be part of a Methodist denomination that assigns pastors. The church we were serving at that time, we shared the vision with them. And to be honest, got very little support verbally at that point in time. But the loudest voice was from a lady who stood up and she said, I believe what you're trying to do is shut down Planned Parenthood, and I can't support that. And that was the loudest voice there. Well, sadly, she doesn't seem to realize what a wicked organization Planned Parenthood has been and has been a major enemy to the black community, period. And yet, you know, you mentioned you work with the Project Me Alpha 21, that powerful film. That does, to a great extent, amongst other things, an expose on who Planned Parenthood is. And so to every listener, I would encourage you, if you haven't seen the movie May Alpha 21, please do. It has a powerful message to that end. But would you share your thoughts? Now, we're coming up on a break soon, so we'll may have to finish on the other side. But would you share your thoughts about that? What I just shared?
Sure, yeah. A lot of people think that Planned Parenthood is just this organization that gives out health care, and that's because they have a propaganda machine that promotes this. But when you look at their history, and not only what they did in the past, but what they still do today, of the targeting of...
I'm going to have to go ahead and jump in, Carol, and we'll pick up there on the other side. Our phone guest today is Carol Novielli. She's the research fellow at Live Action and a contributing writer for Live Action News. We'll be right back. Toby Mac with City on Our Knees. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest is Carol Novielli. She's research fellow with Live Action and a contributing writer for Live Action News as well. Yes, Carol, if you'll pick up where you left off, please.
Sure. So, yeah, there's a really dark history where Planned Parenthood is concerned. And we covered a lot of that in that documentary film I mentioned earlier, Ma Alpha 21, but they were basically established in 1916 to curtail the procreation of the, quote, feeble-minded, the, quote, unfit, including racial minorities and the poor. They were founded by Margaret Sanger, a known eugenicist. And a lot of times, you know, people will stop there. Now, Planned Parenthood, after decades of the pro-life movement exposing them, Planned Parenthood finally, you know, relented and admitted in 2020 that, yes, Margaret Sanger was eugenic and racist. But what a lot of people aren't aware of is that the president of the organization that actually brought them towards committing abortions, Dr. Alan F. Guttmacher, he was a former vice president of the American Eugenics Society. See, Planned Parenthood didn't start committing abortions until the 1970s. But even as far along as Dr. Guttmacher, they were still muddied up in eugenics. I mean, at one point, the Eugenics Society was giving rent to Planned Parenthood, and they had many eugenicists on their board. And in 1970, Guttmacher persuaded Planned Parenthood, the organization, as their vice president, He persuaded them to commit abortions, but he was heavily active in the decriminalization of abortion in New York State. And he himself was, you know, just completely muddied up in population control as well. But he saw what he termed as voluntarism, which would mean like we'll push birth control and abortion on the targeted communities. And then if that doesn't work, then we'll go into more compulsory abortion moves. And so even though the eugenicists were pushing things like forced sterilization, which is what Sanger was for, Alan Guttmacher wanted to give voluntarism a try, and that was only if it would work. And so he and others on the Planned Parenthood board still had in their back pocket this compulsory agenda. And so he's the one, really, who brought Planned Parenthood, and he founded this organization called the Guttmacher Institute, which you hear cited a lot for abortion stats. And so Planned Parenthood has had this history for a long, long time. We've done, it's really detailed in our Case for Defunding Planned Parenthood report. And in 1978, they elected their first black female president who, quote, put the world on notice. See, what Planned Parenthood was good at doing is the same thing Margaret Sanger did, which rolling out what they called the, quote, Negro Project, where Margaret Sanger, this is something that she referred to in a letter to Clarence Gamble, who was, one of the founders of the Procter & Gamble movement. Mm-hmm. And she wrote this letter where they were going to use black ministers to, you know, roll out their agenda. So, and that's what Planned Parenthood did. When they announced abortion, that they were going to commit abortion, they had just nominated their first black board member, and they put him out front to make this announcement. And then within a short time, they had elected their first black female president. In all of the years before, they were founded in 1916, they had never had black board member, black president, and then suddenly they want to commit abortions, and here they go, putting these people who believed in that mission, obviously, out front to promote their eugenic ideas. And
well,
so,
well, you know, Kara, let me just mention something real briefly. You know, one of the things that clearly, and you've pointed this out a number of times, Planned Parenthood is they're a master at deception. They excel in the ability to deceive and mislead people. And of course, that's for obvious reasons then. And so I do recall, and just want to ask your thoughts on this as well. Some years ago, lived in the Nashville, Tennessee area, and recall that they had a large Planned Parenthood facility in near downtown, located very close to three historically black institutions. And of course, that's a part of their strategy. And I know, like, I think of this, if you were to walk up to one of those schools, specifically Meharry Medical, Fisk University, Tennessee State, and if you were to ask them what they thought about the KKK, they'd think, well, they'd probably say, I don't like them and they don't like us. But if you'd ask them, what do you think about Planned Parenthood? A normal response is, oh, they're wonderful. They do great things to help our community. And again, to the point I was speaking of earlier, when we were starting our pregnancy ministry that would be serving in the Mississippi Delta, as I said, a woman stood up and she said, what I believe you're trying to do is shut down Planned Parenthood, and I can't support that. Now, we never brought up Planned Parenthood. We never mentioned Planned Parenthood. Our goal was to serve mothers and babies in the Mississippi Delta. But somehow or another, she connected that to opposing Planned Parenthood. Well, of course, obviously, Planned Parenthood, one of their goals is to exterminate people in the black community. That's a clear goal they've had for a long time. Yet, sadly, many in our community think of them as a wonderful organization. So further thoughts you have about that reality?
Well, part of the problem is that the media portrays them as, you know, problem solvers. But abortion is never, you know, the solution to any problem. And we cannot call an organization that's willing to commit the killing of children good. And especially a Christian.
Exactly.
That is in no way good and just when you're killing innocent babies. And so, yes, they are marketing geniuses. And even now, they're pulling the wool over a lot of people's eyes. But even when you want to, even when people want to say, oh, they'll do this or that, their clientele has decreased. Their services have decreased. But what has been increasing is abortion. right? And so, yes, they were being founded in eugenics, as, you know, other institutions were, obviously. It was a well-known scientific thought of the day. But, you know, Planned Parenthood, literally, I think there was like a New York Times article in 1969 called Dr. Guttmacher is the Evangelist of Birth Control. And in that article, they discussed, they painted a picture that they were just pushing birth control on the, quote, ghetto rather than the middle class. This is what's cited in this article, who were having more than optimal amounts of children. And the New York Times noted that a, quote, sizable number of Planned Parenthood's board was made up of, quote, predominantly white and well-to-do people. And then they quoted a Planned Parenthood board member who had attended this meeting, who admitted their racist attitude. And this is what he said. He said, what it all comes down to is that we want the poor to stop breeding while we retain our freedom to have large families. It's strictly a class point of view, right? So this is right in the New York Times. And so, but it's sandwiched in between this like multiple page glowing review of Planned Parenthood, where they do put out this little tiny bit of information, but that little bit of information tells you everything you need to know. Mm-hmm. And not only that, fast forward to 2020 and even further, where African-American, Jewish, and, staff, their own people are complaining that they have segregated offices. They're filing discrimination lawsuits with the Office of Civil Rights. They are saying that this organization is discriminating against us. And so, and they were discriminating against pregnant staff, of course, right? And they have multiple accusations by their own, you know, customers, their clients, that they were not protecting their privacy. And so even if with all of this dark history, they're still doing, obviously they're killing children. That's in and of itself should cause them to be defunded. But every single agency, whether it's like Medicaid or Title X, all of these funding sources through our government, through our taxpayer dollars, they all say that an organization who gets taxpayer dollars cannot discriminate. They must protect patient privacy. They must report sex abuse, right? And they cannot have fraud. And they've been accused, even in our state of Texas, they were fined $4.3 million for Medicaid fraud. And they've had multiple accusations of Medicaid fraud over the years. And this is written into all of the contracts that they're signing. So regardless of this push that we're trying to do, you know, with Congress, those agencies, HHS and Title X and Office of Population, whatever it's called, I can't remember the full name, Affairs, I think, OPA, they need to defund Planned Parenthood based on the fact that they are violating those government agency protocols for receiving tax dollars.
Well, Kara, our time is just about gone, though, but would it be correct to say that, in essence, our government just continues to give millions and millions of dollars to Planned Parenthood to do what they do, in spite of the fact that even though legally it's not supposed to be happening, but it continues to happen? Is that correct?
Well, I would say that, right, if you looked at the agency documents and what they're in violation of, right, but they shouldn't be getting taxpayer dollars because they're committing abortions, even though, you know, technically speaking, our dollars are not supposed to fund abortion. Mm-hmm. What's happening is they're using that money to fund, the taxpayer dollars are funding the staff, funding the buildings that they commit their abortions in.
Right.
So it's a fungible situation, which is helping Planned Parenthood grow exponentially. Mm. And we don't need an organization. We have federally qualified health centers. We have that have, you know, thousands of sites around the country that serve 34 million, I think was their reported amount of clientele last year, that are federally funded. And we don't need Planned Parenthood when we have all these other organizations that can step in and help people.
That is so true. So true. Well, Carol, our time is gone here, though. But if someone wants to get in touch with Live Action and learn more about it, share the website one more time, please.
Yes, liveaction.org. And then you can follow us on our news page. And you can also follow us on social media at Live Action News or at Live Action. And, you know, please follow us on social media. We'd love to have you. And thank you so much. AFR Radio means a great deal to me. I really love this. And thank you for your program.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Well, again, please pray much for the ongoing work and mission of Live Action as they continue to do the great ministry work, ministry kingdom building that they do. As we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you're listening today and you know you have never made the eternally important decision of inviting Jesus Christ to come into your heart to be your Lord and Savior, today is a wonderful day, a great day to be saved. If you'd like to make that step and give your life to Christ, would you, from your heart, pray this prayer with us right now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much. You came into the world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all the wrong things I've ever done. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Today, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed and gave your life to Christ, we want to connect with you. We'd like to be in touch with you. We want to share with you some literature that will help you to begin to grow in your new walk with the Lord. Please get in touch. Again, that email, joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Also, if you'd like to get a copy of the article that we share, the title again, Life, Pregnancy and Motherhood. Same email, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get that article or any of the others that we share on the broadcast. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.